Question period. John, I can hear myself way too well. I can't even fall asleep during the sermon. Pick up with the 18th chapter, the 21st verse. Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea. With such violence, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down and never be found again. The music of harpists and musicians, flute players, trumpeters will never be heard again. No workman of any trade will ever be found in you again. He's talking about the city of Babylon. The sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of bride and bridegroom will never be heard in you again. And the merchants of the world, by your magic spell, all the nations will be led astray. In her is found the blood of the prophets and of the saints, and all who have been killed on the earth. Dear Lord, though these words seem mystical and hidden, let us see the true story you're giving to us of your divine power and your plan. We have many friends and relatives that are needing surgery or time of recovering, recuperation, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, financial problems. Bless them, Father, with their caregivers. For our men and women who fight for us, those who serve in foreign fields as missionaries, for our police officers and our firemen, all those who try to keep us safe and sound here in the States, bless them all. Father, I pray for wisdom in this upcoming time of election and choice, that we will know where we ought to go to fulfill your destiny for us. Be with the speaker. Let us grow together. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A mighty angel. To me, the angels are all pretty mighty. But evidently, well, this one has some kind of superpower. With a distinct task to do is to pick up a stone the size of a millstone. Now, for those of you that grew up with store-bought flour, used to come in a little, you know, little things, 5 pounds or 3 pounds, and they wrap the paper on it real tight, you know. You put it in the refrigerator, keep the ants from getting into it or the bugs from getting into it. You've never seen a millstone work, maybe. But in the olden days, usually by a waterfall, most cities started near water in the ancient times. There would be a dam there, and there would be water pyre, and they would turn an old millstone. I've seen them from 2 foot to 8 foot wide. Matter of fact, there's a huge one down in Fort Myers, over in the section where the statues of Edison, Ford, those guys are, 6 and 8 foot wide. And they would drop their corn or wheat, barley, and as this pyre went around, it would grind them. There would be grooves in it, and it would go around, and on the outside, the husk would go, and the inside would come the grain. And they'd pick it up, and it would be mill grain. If you were a big enough town, they would have different size grooves in them. A lot of grooves real close together would be a fine flour. Big grooves far apart would be for cornmeal, or as they used to call it, dog flour. It was coarse. It was thick, but it was good. That's the size he gave us. He said it threw it in mightily. Now, I don't know how mightily mighty an angel could be, but I'd say pretty mighty what a mightily angel could be. I couldn't repeat that if I had to. But the force was tremendous. The scientists will tell us, or will try to tell us, that several meteors have hit the earth. Matter of fact, there's a watch for one now. And they would like to tell you that a meteor hit the earth many, many billions and billions of years ago, and it turned the earth sideways and froze the dinosaurs to death. I don't know. God does what he wants to. Right here, he's going to use a millstone to end Babylon. Babylon is a name for several cities. The first one, of course, is over by the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. It was the capital of the land of Ur, which is where Abraham come from. So your Middle Eastern people were all from that area. It was built powerful and strong. They say at one time it enclosed over 14 acres, 1,000 acres with 14 miles of fence built around it, big rock walls. At the top of the walls, as they sloped up, were 20 feet wide. That meant the base had to be 40 feet or wider. That's impressive. And it had been the power on and off in the kingdom for almost 1,000 years. It was big. It was captured by the Medes and Persians. It was big. It was captured by the Assyrians. It was big on and off through different leaders. The famous leader we know them of course, is Nebuchadnezzar, who came in at God's bidding and destroyed Jerusalem and took all the treasure of the temple to his palace. It was to teach Israel a lesson. They had 80 years of time out, if you call slavery time out. And from that story, of course, we hear of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. It's also used to refer to Rome. And later on, it'll be used to refer to Jerusalem. The key of the cities that were called Babylon, as most of the cities in the ancient times, was how they were built. They were built to be shrines to their gods. The big center point in Babylon of Nebuchadnezzar's time was a spire that kept going up and up. And at the top, they've put all their gods there. The gods of Moloch, the gods of Ahab, the gods of death and destruction and sin that drew Israel to them. Jehovah's not going to have any of that anymore. They will be destroyed. And all gods that are contrary to him and his beliefs and his son and his teachings will be destroyed in this time. This will be the time of great tribulation. For if you did not support the leaders of Babylon, the leaders of the one world government, you were set upon by your enemies because they didn't allow you to have freedom. In the late 1700s, the most popular book at that time was a book that was written by Edward Gibbon, 1788. Edward Gibbon wrote a book, if you've read it, God bless you, because it's about as heavy as it is long. The Rise and the Fall of the Roman Empire. You ever heard of it? Five reasons why great civilizations died. The undermining of dignity and sanctity of the home, which is the basis for human society. Number two, higher and higher taxes. The spending of public money for free bread and the circuses of the populace. The mad craze for pleasure. Sports becoming every year more exciting, more brutal, more mortal. Excuse me, more immortal. The building of greater armaments when the real enemy is from within. The decay of individual responsibility. And number five, the decay of religion. Faith fading into a mere form, losing touch with life, losing power to guide its people. Isn't it wonderful that none of that's going on today? The book was written over 250 years ago, and it applies even more. When we don't correct our lives, and when we do what's happened in the past to a bad conclusion, we can only expect the same bad conclusion to come to us. Every one of those five, written in 1788, every one of those five things we can see on our television, our radio, on our streets every day. Began studying hard on the book of Revelation in 1973. When I've heard different ones, the Hellbop Comet, Koresh, and Jim Jones, and all those people saying, this is the end's coming, the end's coming. Well, I do agree with them. The end is coming. I can't tell you when. All we can do is read the sights. See, the path is being laid to us. That's why we study Revelation. Yeah, Dwight, but goodness sakes, Revelation is such a bummer. It's a downer. Death and destruction and pain and torment and anguish. Well, that's in there. As Joe said, bad news and good news. That's the bad news part. Here's the good news part. Those who belong to Jesus Christ as their Savior, those who have confessed His name before men, those who have been buried in the water grave of baptism, those who rise anew and filled with the Holy Spirit, those who have been faithful to Him, we're out here. He's taken us out. That's the good news part. Let somebody else take your medicine for you that they deserved. It is so sad. Can you imagine a great city in violence? Well, I don't know. Let's see. New York City, Chicago, Los Angeles. Can we keep on going? Yeah, there's violence in our cities. What else? The town will be destroyed. Most of you watched, many of you watched, let's put it that way, the 9/11 specials last month about what happened that side of New York City. Anybody ever heard of the Great Chicago Fire? Anybody ever heard what happens in violent earthquakes? Remember a little thing called Charlie or Katrina? We don't have the power over anything except our own destiny. We can't stop a hurricane, a flood, or a fire. Those are all in God's control. And God's going to finally say, I've had enough. It is so sad, the next verse or two, that music, harpists, flute players, trumpets, we'll never hear them again. Can you imagine a world without music? I assume that means even the birds won't chirp so beautiful. Even the wind won't blow so calm and peaceful that it rocks us to sleep at night. No workmen or tradesmen. Why? Because you don't need anything built. There's no structure left in the land. We worked for a guy back in the 50s. His men would come into a house in the daytime and install windows and doors and air conditioners and appliances. At night, they'd come back and steal them. Use them and sell them on the side. There's no organization. There's no kindness. The sound of a millstone will never be heard again. That means there won't be anything else baked. Only flour or wheat or cornmeal to eat. The light of the lamp will never shine in you again. His name was Mel. He was a member over at the Murdoch Church when we were there. Mel had been blinded by a shotgun blast in his early 30s. Had been blind for over 50 years. What do you miss? I miss just light itself. I don't see colors. I don't see the faces of my children and my grandchildren. I don't see the beauty of God's nature. I am blind. All I can see is the memories I have in my imagination from so many years ago. Spent last couple days last week in Dayton, Ohio, learning how to work on Chick-fil-A frying machines. Woke up in the middle of the night. There's no Becky on that side. There's no lights in the room. I had to get up and open the look out the window to see where I was. Because it was dark, and when it's dark, everything looks the same. Isn't it sad to have no light? The voice of the bride and the bridegroom will never be heard again. There'll be no families anymore. How sad that is. My mother cried at every wedding she ever went to. Mama, you're crying because your cousin's third daughter is getting married. You don't even know the woman. Yeah, but I know what she's getting into. That is absolutely a true story. I began to cry at every wedding after that, and I was doing the marrying. Your merchants were the world's great men. We talked a couple chapters ago about it with that destruction of the big city. There wasn't any reason to buy something. You didn't have any money. Nobody traded. So they lost their power. By your magic spell, the nations were led astray. The city of Babylon is referred to as the center of all sin. The people were trapped. There's a place called K Street now. There's another one called Madison Avenue. And their entire jobs there in New York was to get you to buy something or do something you didn't need and didn't want to do. They're advertisers. They draw people in. They make you think. You just can't eat just one, so you buy a bag of Lay's potato chips and see if you can. They will tell you, this product, oh my goodness. When I was 12 years old, I knew I could not live another day unless I had a Popeil's Pocket Fisherman. And how many of you ladies have bought a Vegematic? You used to want to put it away because it was too hard to clean. But we had to buy it. It was on TV. And I don't know how much smell good stuff they sell going up to Christmas or birthdays or Mother's Day. Because the Elizabeth Taylor's white diamonds and all those type of things. You know? So we have been talked into things that we don't need. We have a place in the United States. Are you ready for this? It has a wonderful name, a nickname. It's called Sin City. I don't think that's a positive notation. But we fall for the traps. And Babylon is good at that because it wants to destroy us here or there. The things that apply to me don't apply to you maybe. And the things that apply to you do not apply to me. But they all know something that we want it. Or we'll fall for it. And you know, if we understand this latter part, she has found the blood of prophets and of saints and all who have been killed on earth. She's the fault. If you stopped right there, in chapter 18, Revelation, we just go home, sit in the chair and watch a ball game for the next 4 or 5 days. Because that's just a terrible event. But listen to this one, verse 1 of chapter 19. After this, I heard a voice that sounded like the roar of a great multitude. The heavens shouting, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. I was walking through and watching a little television yesterday with about 15 or 20 seconds left and a sporting event down in Georgia. Some guy hauled off and chucked the ball, and the other guy runs a while, and all of a sudden Georgia was ahead of Tennessee. And all the Georgia people was going absolutely stark, raving, mad, crazy. 4 seconds left. I don't need to tell Denise this. Denise knows what I'm going to say. Denise, hallelujah time. This Tennessee guy is like a 19-year-old kid, freshman, hauls off and chucks the ball. And it goes like forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and it lands about 10 feet into the end zone. And one of the Tennessee people grabs the ball, and all the Georgia people screaming, Yay! Became... And all the Tennessee people was going, oh, go, ah. And I imagine it was fairly loud there. But this is nothing compared to what it's going to be in heaven. When all the saints on earth that have been taken up to be with God in heaven shall cheer a mighty sound. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. It does not belong to one of the false gods. It does not belong to one of the tempted cities. It does not belong to false religious leaders who don't teach the truth of the Bible. It does not belong to politicians or to the wealthy or to the stars or to the athletes. The praise belongs to Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's the good news of the good news, bad news, Job. For true and just are His judgments. They say at one time, in one of our states named Illinois, I didn't say Illinois, in a city called Chicago, you could pretty much buy any decision you wanted from a judge and a jury. So Al Capone did so well for so long, nobody would go against him. It was wrong. But now justice is coming. The judgments are true because they're not made by men, they're made by God. And He's the fair judge. He has condemned the great prostitute. We talk about the prostitute because she brought in the false worships to the false gods. That's the term. Who corrupted the earth by adulteries, the false worships. He has avenged her blood of His servants. See, God will get the revenge and the justice for us. And all the martyrs from all the centuries who died for Jesus and for God and serving Him, they will be lifted up and praised. Then again shouted, Hallelujah. The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. That's the second hallelujah. The 24 elders the four living creatures that surrounded the throne of God, fell down and worshiped God, who is seated on the throne, and they cried, Amen and Hallelujah. Amen usually means you're through with the prayer, it's time to eat. The word Amen means I agree. We agree. That's what it really means. So Amen, we agree, Hallelujah. Then a voice from the throne said, Praise our God, all you His servants, who fear Him, both large and small. It will be our privilege, not our task, but our privilege in heaven to thank God every day, every minute of the day for what He's done. Back in the 70s, there was a song, I think it's Chevalier that sang it. I know it had to be after Christy was born. Thank Heavens for Little Girls. Remember that one? Maurice Chevalier. We'll be thanking God for His love for us all day long. Praise God, all you servants who are here, both great and small. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude in the roar of rushing waters. If you've been in Niagara Falls, or one of the larger waterfalls, there is a roar. You can't hear yourself talk, let alone anybody else, because the power of the water is so great. The roar of rushing waters, like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah, the fourth time that's been said. For our Lord God reigns. Let His voice be glad and give Him glory. Our Lord God reigns. Next month, we're supposedly going to go into a booth and decide who reigns. If you listen to Morgan and Morgan, we're going to vote for marijuana because that reigns. If you listen to one side of the TV shows, the commentaries, you're going to vote for one of the four candidates that they like. You know those four candidates? The Green Party, the Independent Party, Republican, Democrat. You're going to vote for senators. You know what? It don't matter. Because it's God's rules we need to obey. It's God's rules we need to accept. It's God's servants we need to be voting for, putting ourselves on their side. Presidents will last a while. Senators will last a while. Congressmen, etc., etc. But God lasts forever. Because of that, we can be happy. We can be part of that joyous crowd that's singing Amen, Hallelujah. Because we know that what we've been bothered by and what's attacked us and what's been set out by Satan himself to hurt us here on earth doesn't matter anymore. We get distracted sometimes. Now, trust me. I have a lot of blue outfits. And basketball will be here soon. And I'll be relieved if I can count on a winning season. But that's just temporary. Movies come out that we want to see. Plays we want to go to. But their excitement are just temporary. We need our feet set upon the stone because the wise man's house is built upon the rock. But the foolish man's house is built upon the sand. And we know that it comes tumbling down in that old children's song. Hallelujah, our Lord God reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. We thank Him. For the wedding of the Lamb has come. We're going to talk about that in the 21st chapter in a couple weeks. The wedding of the Lamb has come. The bride has made herself ready. The bride is the church. Ecclesia. Those who are called out. The bride has been made ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, were given to her to wear. I don't know why I want to watch this. But there is a show called Say Yes to the Dress. Y'all are, all right, man, none of you will admit you've seen it. I understand that. You got to keep your pride and dignity going on. But they'll sit there and they'll cry and then women will squabble over each other. And mama said, I'm not going to pay for that if you buy that terrible looking piece of rags. And it's just hilarious. Not enough pushy stuff, and it's either a mermaid dress or I don't even know what I understand about it. And I definitely don't understand what I know about it. But the white, simple dress worn by the bride of Christ, the church, is what we're after. Doesn't need to be ornate, but what it stands for is. Doesn't need to be fancy or flirty or long or short, Because what it stands for takes care of everything. The bride of Christ, the church that he died for. That's what's important. The angel said to me, write, quote, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. Did you ever get an invitation to something you really wanted? All right, guys, you don't. That's just a ball game. But ladies, do you ever get an invitation? So-and-so's getting married, and everyone who is someone will be there. Somebody's going to get a presentation. Somebody's going to get a speech or an orientation. Everyone. Last week or so, down there at Jarmain Theater, they had 8, 10, or 11, or 4 million thousand people show up to go inside. And 4 or 5,000 people were turned away. Wouldn't it, Joe, be something? Wouldn't it, Brother Campbell, be something if 4 or 5,000 people were turned away from getting in the Lord's house every Sunday because we didn't have enough room for them, but yet we'll go stand in the sun or go 3 or 4 hours ahead of time to see a ball game or something like that? We have got our priorities wrong. And as long as our priorities are wrong, now, don't take it that Dwight doesn't think it's okay to do some of this stuff. But what are your priorities? That's what we've got to look forward to. As he said this, I fell at his feet, worshipped him. A bad mistake, because he's worshiping an angel. He said to me, no, don't do that. I'm but a fellow servant, along with you and your brothers, who hold to the testimony of Jesus, quote, worship God. Worship God. Isn't that simple? Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We don't know what's going to happen or when, but Jesus does. We don't know all the details, but it doesn't matter. Because the host of the wedding feast has already got it planned. All we know is to be ready when the time comes. Because that is truly the good news. You know, the word gospel in Aramaic actually translates good news. That's our good news. Oh, the doctor may tell you I've got good news and bad news. The repairman may tell you I've got good news and bad news. My mechanic always tells me I got bad news. Yeah, I've been there, haven't you? But Jesus has good news only. If you're not a part of that good news because you've not given him your life, we're going to sing an invitation just now. Take a stand for Jesus because he took the cross for you. Stand with me as we sing hymn number 404. Thank you.